There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
The choice of a lawyer is important and shouldn't be based on an ad.
After a serious car accident, people have two questions. Why me and what now? Well, no one knows why you, but I'm Terry Crouppen, and my law firm, Brown & Crouppen, sure can help with the what now. Car repairs, medical bills, lost wages, pain and suffering. We're Brown & Crouppen, and we've got all those answers. All you have to do is call. 222-2222.
Five presents cool sheets from AHA to
lying awake while you bake isn't cool. I suffered from the wrong kind of hot in bed, heat-induced insomnia. That was my AHA moment, bed sheets that keep you cool. Then I thought, how do I even sell bed sheets? That's when I had the idea that made it all possible, signing up on Shopify. With the help of Shopify's intuitive online store creator, I started selling sustainable bamboo sheets that keep cool year-round. And my cool idea became a reality. Hot sleepers around the world rejoice. Shopify makes it simple to keep your cool while starting and growing your business. Start selling with Shopify today and join the commerce platform powering millions of businesses worldwide. From AHA to anything is possible.
This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Start selling online today. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/free22. shopify.com/free22.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Well, why don't we air our grievances here and get into this?
What is it?
No, it'll be fun.
It's not going to be fun. You don't want to go at all.
I mean, look, if I had a choice, I'm a homebody at heart. And so Madison does get me out of my shell, which I love. But I don't really know anybody.
Is this part of a graduation shindig?
And my problem with no, I think it's just work. And I don't want to embarrass myself in front of our coworker. But when they ask what I do, you say, I'm work at the, and then you go more in depth with the show, and it's like, oh man.
Yeah. Mm. I'm so sorry.
Mm. They're going to podcast it. They're going to download the app.
They'd be so impressed.
People actually ask you what you do?
Well, that's a basic answer.
And you say, I'm on a radio show. And they say, what radio show? And then you explain it to them. And they go, never heard it? What's it about? And then you go into that.
What's it about? It's like, oh. Let me tell you, do you know what a cuck is?
Right, that's how you start.
Yeah.
So we got that.
And most people, I think, would say no.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd be surprised. I think there's a closeted cuck community out there.
Is there?
Yeah.
Because you've probably run up against this at other cocktail parties in the past where this
whole
conversation has played out.
I have to say, I haven't had many cocktail parties. I don't know where it's at, but it'll be fun.
Central Corridor. It's got to be.
Yeah.
They don't have cocktail parties outside of the Central Corridor, right?
No. We don't. I don't think we have them in Sunset Hills.
I think it
might
be the Chase.
Is Sunset Hills not considered Central Corridor?
No.
What is Central Corridor, then?
I had a friend ask me that yesterday.
This is a nice question for us.
I feel like it's... what would that be?
Maryland Heights.
East of... west of 170 and east of 270.
I think it goes out to Chesterfield.
I feel like that's West County.
I think it's still Central Corridor.
WECO.
I think of it along Highway 40, about 2 miles either direction, north or south.
Huh.
I feel like it's the Ladue School District, and that's about it.
Oh, my God, Doug. Jackson's never been more unrelatable outside
SOB.
Of that Steve Kerr take.
Maybe the Clayton School District, maybe.
Town and Country, that's certainly Central Corridor.
Bordering on West County, I think.
Well, West County, part of it is Central Corridor.
I thought Central Corridor was like just like the center. I'm not talking west or east, just like the center.
It's central, not center.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Well, where's Manchester and 270? That's West County Mall, so.
So?
That would be west. It wouldn't be central, and that's further east than what Jackson just said.
But I think when people say Central Corridor, they think of the wealthiest area of St. Louis. And that extends pretty much, I'd say, from almost like Forest Park, straight out west, Highway 40, a couple miles north or south in either direction, all the way out to Chesterfield.
Right, right.
This is brutal.
We need to define Central Corridor.
The Colonel. Colonel's dreading football season.
Post-game show is going to be lit.
Oh, God. I thought that was Barrett.
No, that's the Colonel.
Does that sound like Barrett?
God, I love that post-game show.
Play that again. Oh, man. Does that sound like Barrett?
All day
this
long.
Is brutal.
God, I'm going to try to pull just like a full clip I pulled from that because that stuff is so funny. People are just have no idea how to work their phones, and he is not putting up with it.
It'll be a fun season.
You're bullish.
I mean, I think they'll be a lot better than last year. I love Luther Burden.
He'll be.
Yeah, the issue now is can you hang on to people like Luther Burden?
Oh, you'll be able to.
Oh, you better pay up. Because, you know, there'll be some high-dollar schools that'll pay him a fortune to go there.
And that's fine. It's his decision.
I know.
What's best for himself and his family.
Yeah, it is. I just worry about the schools at the Missouri level. If you get a superstar player, how hard is it going to be to hang on to him?
Well, it's just what teams have to learn now and navigate towards. It's whatever.
Yeah. Well, I don't like it. I like it for the players. I think the players should get paid. I just think it's bad for the sports. It's going to be great for the top-tier programs. Pretty bad for everybody else.
Yeah, without the name, image, likeness, those players from, you know, the smaller schools, you know, that make the tournament and make a deep run and make a name for themselves are finally getting paid. So I think it helps, you know, small schools in terms of players because, you know, teams that they may not be able to ever get recruited by or they're now be able to go to their junior and senior year based upon, you know, their stats. And, you know, just because you weren't a D1 superstar player, you're, you know, senior year in high school doesn't mean you can't strive for that. Your junior and senior in college.
You still got a chance to get paid. Yeah, it's wonderful for the players. It's great for them. The pendulum has swung way to their side where they've got all the leverage now. Coach said something to me. I didn't get to play as much as I want. I'm out.
Peace. Guys, Central Corridor starts at Spady and ends at Big Bend along 40. Thanks, 3 and 4. Doug, do you agree with that?
No.
Yep, there you go. No, another person says I-64 McCausland to Spady. It's in the 3-1-4. Worson Woods Wacko says the cocktail parties at country clubs always include cuck and poop discussion. Gladys and her pearls really love talking about that stuff. Thanks, Worson Woods Wacko.
Yeah.
I think I'm actually going to wear my Pepper and Genie shirt.
You have shirts yourself now?
Well, yeah, you know, the one that, you know, before we had the show, we made them. And now we have the show and we don't have them. I think that's funny, too. I have a Pepper and Genie shirt, busting it out, I think, and be a good conversation piece.
Hey, guys, we have cocktail parties in the single-car garages in Shrewsbury. Dads and stepdads only. Usually turns into speed dating. Thanks. River to Pear Yacht Captain.
Speed dating?
You can watch the program, as many friends have chosen to do. YouTube.com/TMASTL. 243 friends of the feather have gathered to talk it over.
Oh, my goodness.
And they... This one's a clear he did not hijack. And they are hitting on each other, and it is hot. Well, Doug, as you wanted, Dotem came by yesterday, and he appeared on Pepper and Genie.
It's unfortunate.
And this is what they had to discuss on the TMA recap program with the Plowhawk and Iggy, also known as the award-winning Pepper and Genie podcast.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Doesn't have to be open for the brine to go down the chest. It's got to go somewhere.
Yeah, well, you have a few options. I think if you need to go to the bathroom, obviously having the lid up is great, so then you can eat and...
Go at the same time, the twofer, yeah.
Yeah, if your goal is simply to eat, then you can put both down and you're a little more comfortable. But yeah, I think you never want to have the seat all the way up because that's, you know, have you ever sat on a
Yeah, you're going to fall seat? In. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the most common position is with the seat up, reverse cowgirl, tank lid. It's a perfect place to eat. And, you know, if you have to go at the same time, I mean, two birds, one stone.
Well, I mean, what if in your middle of eating and your lid's down, but your father-in-law comes in and decides he's going to give you a little brine?
Yeah.
You need the seat
yeah,
up so
seat
that
up.
Has some place to...
I didn't exactly. think about a second party there, yeah.
Yeah, well, if you're going to be eating for a while, you definitely want to make sure it's still available for someone to use. So if you're sitting backwards on the toilet, someone can at least, you know... your lower back is still there for it to...
almost like a backboard, I guess you'd
yeah,
say.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to take up... you don't want to prevent someone else from going for a long time, so...
Yeah, you got to think... You can't be selfish in
exactly.
terms of when you're reverse cowgirl. Yeah.
That's what she talked about on your little show. That was it? That was
a snippet that was representative? I think he farted on your seat.
Break down the hard questions.
Deke Dotem has been suspended again, not only indefinitely, but now indefinitely, and I really mean it. So Deke Dotem's name is going into the STLTaxLawyer.com suspension logule. He's always in there because he's suspended indefinitely, but now he's suspended indefinitely, and I really mean it.
I just called and no one picked up. And then Jackson just wrote back, try again, Bill.
Yeah, I bet the take was hot. Sure, this
I think it's Mr. Licks.
I don't even know.
Is it? No.
I think it's Mr. Licks.
All right, I'm
636-9004 TMA. That is the Steve Schmidt Kia
this
North
guy.
County phone line. And
Bobby
we
Dunlop.
Are in the appliance discounters, 8 o'clock hour. Yeah, Pepper and Genie podcast, Dotem. I mean, that's a special edition right there. If you listen, what do you think of it, Doug?
I didn't listen to it. I heard more than I needed to hear just in that little snippet.
And I introduced him to John Kiowski as well.
Oh, wow.
God.
He was a big fan. They talked for a little bit, and Deke's a treasure, and I'm glad he
he's not a treasure.
Come in and felt bad that his golf, you know, outing did get rained out yesterday, but he got a good week planned ahead of him, so glad he's in town and glad he made time for us.
Mm. Dotem's the best.
Yeah, Love boy, him. It's hard to book him as a guest. He's so busy with all the other shows.
Doug, you can get your insurance anywhere. Ask yourself, what's my provider doing for me? Do I have to hit prompts? Do I have to deal with chatbots? Am I put on hold? There's always a different person. Are they local? Are they proactive in the community? And do they represent the number one provider of auto and home insurance in the U.S.? Well, James Carlton checks all the boxes. He's my insurance agent, and I'd like to recommend him to our audience. 314-961-4800 or go online at carltoninsurance.net. His name is James Carlton, and he is my insurance agent, and he has an office in Webster Groves with a customer service staff that will answer a call all day long, any day. You're not going to get prompts. You call there, you're just talking to somebody right away. Old school, but it works, and it's what people like. 314-961-4800. Go online at carltoninsurance.net. If your insurance costs a leg and an arm, call James Carlton, the State Farm. Doug, Mr. Licks is on the line?
Oh, okay. No, he didn't want to go on air with his, but he wanted to issue a statement.
Oh, wow. So a statement has been made by Mr. Licks.
Okay. So he told me to issue it for him, so I'm going to do it. We wanted to thank DraftKings Cal for a great recommendation at an Austin restaurant. Yep. He said it was great food, and he wants to thank DraftKings Cal. He also wants to thank Iggy for introducing him to Cheryl Dilcher.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, who is Cheryl Dilcher again?
Singer. Had a really good album back in the early 70s called Butterfly. Mm-hmm. 3 or 4 good songs on there.
Okay.
So that's the statement he wanted me to issue.
Boy, right, exciting Doug? Stuff.
Mr. Licks, is it
Get off our phone lines, Licks! Don't call back here again with those kind of comments. If you'd like to come on the air and say it. But we don't have to reserve time for your comments. This Licks, I mean, he's really rubbing me the wrong way.
No, I get thanking me. I mean, if you want to thank Cal, you could have just DM'd him and thanked him.
Yeah. Well, we are the show of record.
But you can understand why people would throw hosannas at your feet.
Well, yeah. So people enjoy the 9 o'clock music. I like to hear from them. But obviously, Cal gave him a recommendation somewhere other than on this phone line, so you could have used that outlet to thank him for your restaurant pick.
Yeah.
There are a lot of good restaurants in Austin.
Mr. Licks is at war, Doug, as you know. I think he's at war with the Worson Woods Wacko.
Yeah,
is the Worson Woods Wacko at war with Hugo Posh?
Mutual.
Oh, wow. They're all at war. We received this yesterday. It was dropped off in the studio. Did you see the Masters gear?
It's in the corner behind.
I was about to say, that would be really disheartening if it were swiped.
Oh, I see a shirt here.
Okay.
And there's a box of other stuff, or bags.
The great Michael Wellington of Birdies for Bipolar, which portions of the proceeds from the Dotum are going to, and have, I believe, since the very first year. Last year, I think they went to a hot dog venture.
Hot dog guy got him.
But this year, back to Birdies for Bipolar. And he left this note. TMA, thank you, boys, so very much for including Birdies for Bipolar at the Dotum. It is an honor to be part of such a momentous occasion that is so steeped in tradition. So he recognizes the patrons.
Not much of a historian, really.
We appreciate your platform and your support. On a personal level, I want to thank all of you for your comedy. As a person living with a mental illness, some days I wake up not feeling so great. But your laugh-out-loud banter changes my mood on many mornings. I can't tell you how grateful I am for that. Laughter is, without a doubt, the best medicine. With gratitude, Michael Wellington, chair of Birdies for Bipolar, our partner on the... and he will be in studio on
the 11th. Thank you, Willie. Thank you, Willie.
He will be in studio on the 11th. The great Michael Wellington, Birdies for Bipolar.
We've had him on before. It's
great ball striker, Doug. He'll use a two iron off the tee. He will.
And he's got some good golf stories that he can relate to us.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's great to hear that he's doing well, and he's going to be back in a part of this.
Yep.
Nice little letter that he pinned.
Yeah, it was very nice. And he brought in all that Masters gear. I mean, that's some real stuff there. Masters golf shirt, some Masters hats.
Really? I don't see the hat. I don't see any of that.
Looks like Jackson already stole him.
No, it's in Jackson's the bag, like right in front of you, Doug.
Okay.
Good man, Willie.
Nice.
Well, thanks to this Welly, is he still trying to make it himself on the tour? Because I know he was that good where he's borderline, right?
I followed him in 2017 or 2018, Monday qualifying for the Honda. And I think he's been caddying for Chris Nagel on the Korn Ferry. As of late.
Okay.
But I think once people knew I got into the game, they're like, oh, we're just going to stand back and let me kind of, run the torch.
They want you to have a clear path to the tour.
Correct. That's correct.
And not have any other players play well to get in the way.
That's correct.
And some of these guys have been paid off by your father again.
That's a serious charge.
That's not
accurate, but it's a serious charge.
All right.
Guys, can Wellington tell us some of the tales of the tail he gets whilst out on tour? Thanks, Mr. Nipples. Yeah, we can ask. He was complaining about the Hinge scene on in St. Louis yesterday, and that's what got us on the dating app talk. And while I was yesterday afternoon with Jackson, he got a little message from a lass.
And Jackson
she,
did?
Yeah, and she was fine, man. Because I was kind of prepared, like, if he liked her and I was going to be, like, not that into her, I would have gone, oh, she's cute. But then I didn't think he would have known because I went up an octave that I was bluffing.
Right.
But then he showed me. I go, oh, wow, look what's doing here.
What'd she say?
She said, hey, hey. Like Jack Brickhouse.
Oh, my God. Hey, hey! That was Jack Brickhouse.
But?
What'd Jackson say? What do you think of Brooks?
He was debating. He was debating how to respond.
It's normally a bot that's what you get. Hey. Hey.
Is that all?
So yeah, that's all it is.
Cold water on
as
this?
Soon as I see a hey, just block.
You block him!
Yeah, I know it's a bot.
Jackson, did you respond?
There's no human being say hey.
Jackson, what did you respond with, and how's it going?
I said, hey there, how are you?
Nice, Doug, this is
you
getting
hot. You said hey, too.
And then nothing?
Yeah, what'd she say then?
This was like, I sent this like last night, and it's 8:30 in the morning, so we'll monitor throughout the day.
Doug, does that concern you that she hasn't responded yet?
Yes, yes.
But she reached out to Jackson. Did you reach out to her first?
No, this is Bumble. She has to reach out to me.
Ah, see, these are things we don't know. And Bumble is like the place to go? That's the move?
Yeah, it's the play.
All right.
What if she said she agrees with Steve Kerr's take?
Oh.
Well, then we'd have some civil discourse. And then if things got out of hand, then it would be a blocking situation.
Are you checking this app often to see if she's responded to your reply?
I just looked now, but that was the first time I'd looked. You know, Doug, when you're a guy like me, most eligible bachelor in St. Louis, you just throw out some feelers, and they come back. You know, we play it day by day, minute by minute.
But you didn't throw out a feeler. She did.
Yep. Right. So I threw one
She
back.
Was legit, man.
Yeah, she good looking.
Doug, you like that? Yeah, she good looking.
Yeah, like it's just another one.
Nah, I mean, it's cool.
Well, I'm sorry she didn't respond to you.
Like I said, the day is still young. infancy of our messaging. So,
we'll see. But wouldn't you think if someone was really interested, they'd get right back to you?
Well, with Bumble, if you don't have your notifications turned on, like me, you don't really see it unless you open the app. You know, it's not like a text where it comes right to the top of your phone.
And do you look too desperate if you're responding early in the morning?
Yeah, I like to let things marinate a little bit. Leave it in the oven, let it...
So it's a strategy, Doug, that takes us back to Vince Vaughn and John Favreau in 1996's Swingers, right. And you debate how long you wait to call her.
I don't know. If you wait till the afternoon the next day, it kind of looks like you're a restaurant worker, though.
That's a bad thing.
Look, if you're the only guy she's doing that to, you wait, but you don't know. She's on Bumble. She probably, nothing against you, but she may have said hey, hey to about 15 different guys, and the first guy that gets back to her, she's going out with.
That might be the case, but it's, you know what happens when you assume. You make an ass out of you and me.
She may also be a scam artist from Thailand.
No, I think she's verified on there, so...
Oh, hey, hey.
Verification's a clutch move.
Yeah, it is.
Are you verified?
Yeah, of course.
How do you get verified?
So you have all your pictures up there, and then you take a selfie in that moment, and then they have some sort of software that matches up with your pictures to make sure that you are that person.
Wow.
And you get a verification. And if you don't have one, like, honestly, probably not going to talk to you.
Huh.
Hey, Jackson, I think you are hot. I'm married. I'm 54, and I have a hog. That's from the total package. Wow, Jackson's getting everything.
That gentleman's interested.
Slide in my DMs.
You're interested in a 54-year-old married gentleman?
I mean, everyone's got their thing, bro.
That wasn't a no.
This lass is probably exercising your well-known 48-hour rule. She's probably prepping her sin hole as we speak for your entrance. Doug, your sin hole.
I don't want to enter it if I got 2 days to get ready.
Well, I'm sorry she ignored you, because it sounded like this was really going places there for a while.
Yeah, you know. We'll see, Doug. I mean, I'll send you texts. I'll send you screenshots over the weekend.
Ask if she wants to go to the Blues game tonight. I guarantee you she responds immediately.
Ooh, nice move, Paul.
I don't have ducats, so I'm kinda...
I know, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can tell her that later. Hey, I want to go too, but I don't have tickets.
Looks like the YouTube chat's a little bit frozen.
Oh, Doug, the YouTube chat is frozen.
So you know what I'm going to do, fellas? I'm going to come on in there. I'm going to see what I can do.
Okay.
Yeah, because they need an outlet to try to hook up with each other.
It's not the chat proper. It's the video. The video seems to be...
I see a red thing flashing over there.
What do you think that means, Doug?
That typically flashes.
It's always flashing. But I'm going to come in there and do what I can, so...
Flashing.
Prepare for my entrance.
Lights.
Move up.
Flashing. Lights. Doug, can you tell the audience about Bernoulli Cutlery, the sponsor of our Cuts of the Week, which is coming your way here in about, 53 minutes?
Well, sure I can. We've got Mother's Day coming up this weekend, and you're thinking, what do I get, Mom? What'll I do? Well, I'll tell you what would be a smart play was go down there to Bernoulli Cutlery and check and see everything that that they've got. They've got some fabulous items for the kitchen that Mom would love, including those brand-new Wusthof Performance line of knives. You'd love that. Or if you just want to go down there and have your knife sharpened or any garden tool, a lawnmower blade, they'll sharpen anything at Bertarelli Cutlery. That's really been their bread and butter. But they also have that fabulous retail showroom right there in front. So it'd be a great place to meander down there if you're at the Hill this weekend getting a bite to eat. Check out Bertarelli Cutlery. You'll be glad you did. It's a business that's been there for many, many decades. Marco Bertarelli is the longest-running sponsor on this here program. He is on our Mount Rushmore, of course. We're at 1927 Marconi Avenue. I'll give the phone number now. 314-664-4005. Or visit them online at bertarellico.com. They've also got office supplies, and they'll ship those anywhere in the world where you would like. And Marco is also going to be at the Donum, and he'll be giving away about 300 T-shirts. He's got 19 T-shirts that are double extra large. We know we need a lot of those for the Walrus people. He's got those. Email him if you'd like to reserve one of your double extra large Bertarelli Co. T-shirts. It'd be a great thing to have. He's at contact@bertarelliCo.com. Thank you, Marco Bertarelli, one of our fabulous sponsors, longest-running sponsor on the program.
Munganess, the sponsor of our 7 o'clock hour and the Daily Fantasy Sports Showdown. StLouisAcura.com and AltonToyota.com is where you can go to work with Munganess, Jamie Burkhardt and Clayton Patterson. Doug Peter Munganess came out here yesterday. Got to see him.
Oh, that dude.
Changed
out.
He is a good dude.
Changed, you're damn right he is. I changed out my whips. And got to get my car serviced. It's like, yeah, your air conditioning service. Got to get your car serviced. Got to make the car serviced. And then, of course, I ran into the side of my garage. You know, I do that weekly. And then Clayton told me I had a nail in my sidewall. He texted me to tell me that.
about that? Oh, for the hell am I doing? What am I doing out there?
Driving through construction
zones. I guess so. I'm going to ask St. Louis Acura and Alton Toyota. Go online at stlouisacura.com and altontoyota.com. Even if you didn't get your car from Munganast, you can get it serviced at Munganast. stlouisacura.com and altontoyota.com. And I'm telling you, email me, T. McKernan at insidestl.com, or DM me on social media, and I will connect you with Jamie or Clayton, and you're taken care of with the best. It's Munganast, stlouisacura.com and altontoyota.com. And then what you should do now is just start to think about things. Well, now that you're thinking about it, okay.
And you don't even have to think about things if you get a car from Munganast.
Yeah, you don't.
You know what they do is, and I didn't ask Clayton the other, you know, last week if they do detailing, and they did an amazing job. So it's not just, you know, service that they provide. It's also the detailing in and out. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Clayton.
They really know what they're doing with that detailing. Course, yeah. When you get a used car and it looks like it's brand new right off the factory floor, you know that somebody knows what they're doing with detailing.
The tires, they can handle all that. Brand new, they're shiny. I don't know.
It's just perfect. Wonderful.
Phil Mickelson suffered a staggering $40 million gambling loss. Doug, I said $40 million between 2010 and 2014, according to his biographer, Alan Shipnick, a former golf reporter for Sports Illustrated, has a Mickelson biography entitled Phil, the rip-roaring and unauthorized biography of golf's most colorful superstar, which is coming out on May 17th. In a book excerpt published on the Fire Pit Collective website, Shipnick cites documents that were compiled when government auditors conducted a forensic analysis of Mickelson's finances during the time he was embroiled in an insider trading case involving famed professional gambler Billy Walters. In the case, Mickelson was not accused of wrongdoing, but was ordered to pay back about $1 million in stock gains based on his tip from Walters, who was fined $10 million and sentenced to 5 years in prison. While Mickelson was making $40 million per year during those years of gambling losses, which occurred around the peak of his career, Shipnick did some back-of-the-envelope math to conclude that the habit might have cost him all or most of his money once his costs were accounted for. Quote, in those prime earning years, his income was estimated to be just north of $40 million a year. That's an obscene amount of money, but once he paid his taxes, including the California tariffs he publicly railed against, he was left with what? Low 20s? Then he had to cover his plane and mansions, plus his agent, caddy, pilots, chef, personal trainer, swing coaches, and others. Throw in all the other expenses of a big life, like an actual T-Rex skull for a birthday present, and that leaves, what, $10 million? Per the audit, that's roughly how much Mickelson averaged in annual gambling losses, and we don't know what we don't know. In other words, it's quite possible he was barely breaking even or maybe even in the red, and Mickelson's income dropped considerably during his winless years from 2014 to 2017. He also points out that disputes over hundreds of thousands of dollars in back pay were at the heart of Mickelson's split from Bones, his caddy, and suggests the real motivation behind Mickelson's exuberance over the Saudi Golf League was the funny money the upstart league was offering golfers to defect from the PGA Tour, potentially due to depleted finances from Mickelson's gambling losses. That is in the New York Post, and you can read the whole thing at Fire Pit Collective, Alan Shipnick. $40 million in gambling losses. $40 million!
Well, one of the things there that doesn't make sense is most of those things you mentioned are all tax write-offs. You can write off your jet, your chef, all that stuff as part of your job. You can write that stuff off.
Doesn't mean it's free.
But he's writing it off, so he's not taking into consideration. And don't forget he had to pay for all this. Well, a lot of that's a tax write-off, so he's not.
But you still pay for.
And then you write it off, so he's not losing all that money.
It's not a break-even proposition to have a private plane.
Where's Mark Milton? We need him on stat.
It's not a break-even, but it's not. He's trying to say that he spent almost his entire salary for the year.
Well, to buy a house, it's a tax write-off, too. It doesn't mean the house costs you nothing.
No, it doesn't, but you can write it off in taxes. You're not paying all that 50% in taxes in San Diego when you're writing off a lot of it.
No, but it...
I'm just not happy with the whole thing with
him. It's still extremely expensive.
Him, he's trying to defend himself with, oh, you think we leaked it because, to the PGA, and we leaked it, and would you rather have it leaked now or when the book comes out in the PGA, and when the PGA is going on? Well, yeah, well... You know why you're releasing it during the PGA, so don't act like you're trying not to gain some momentum here. I'm not happy with the whole book.
You're not. Elaborate.
Well, I just think it's underhanded. I just think that, for him to say, unless Phil tells me it's off the record, I'm going to write it. And then he goes on to say that, and if he just said it's off the record, I would have fought it. Well, so you're already saying that you wanted to get it out there. So, Phil said he thought it was off the record, but... you know, I just think it's underhanded.
I think the other story.
And he said, I didn't even think about ruining Phil's career. I didn't think anything would happen when he told me all this stuff. Come on. When he told you that, you didn't think anything was going to happen? And how did it leak? You're the only one that had it.
Well, he did release it. He acknowledges he released it.
I think at first, though, he said it was a leak.
Who said it?
I think he said when it first came out, I could be wrong, but I thought when it first came out, he said, I didn't leak it.
Alan?
I thought so. I could be wrong.
He wrote the story.
He wrote the story, but it came out before that this was said about Phil.
No, it came out when he released the story in February.
Well, I thought that was the case because he had to make a statement saying, yeah, I tried to do it to help the PGA. He says, I didn't get along with the PGA.
Yeah, he specifically said I didn't.
But the whole, well, I didn't, anything you say to me is not off the record unless you say it's off the record.
Well, Phil kind of buried his career well before the book came out. Am I correct on that?
In what way?
The quotes about the Saudi league.
Well, that's what Iggy is talking about as to whether Mickelson said the comments were off the record. Shipnick yesterday in this story talked about how it was not off the record and that Mickelson reached out to him to talk to him. And he still wonders what that was about because he had not agreed to do any interviews for the biography. And Shipnick says he contacted him four different times and Mickelson declined four different times. But then he contacted him with these Saudi quotes. And Shipnick sat on them from November until February, and then in February he released them because the thought process was they were about to announce this Saudi Golf, Live Golf Invitational that Greg Norman is in charge of, and that's when Shipnick released them.
I think that the bigger story is how a gambling addiction could grab a hold of somebody who's making $40 million a year, not just once, but multiple years, and cost him everything.
Craig Carton. Iggy brought up Craig Carton earlier. I watched that Craig Carton thing on HBO a couple, maybe like last week. Have you watched that by chance?
No.
Craig Carton, for those who don't know.
It's not like a year ago I saw it.
Yeah, I know. And I hadn't watched it. I don't know why.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Craig Carton was doing mornings in New York at WFAN with Boomer Esiason. Show was incredibly successful. He was making $2 million a year. So like, you know, $750,000 a year in St. Louis dollars. And he just he got into blackjack and got to a point where he was killing it with blackjack. And one night, and Iggy, you've seen it, so you know where I'm coming from with this. They were doing a show from Atlantic City, and he told Boomer Esiason, I think it was, if you give me $10,000, I will bring back $25,000 tomorrow just from playing blackjack. I think that's what it was. And he wound up winning $94,000 that night. And so what wound up happening, he gave Boomer Esiason his 25, that a bunch of people then reached out to him, you know, some with real money, and started giving him money.
Yeah.
But then he kept chasing something else, this ticket business, the secondary market ticket business, and then he took some of the money that was for the ticket business, and then he played blackjack with it, and he was taking a helicopter from his place where he lives. He has four kids. In Manhattan, in the studios for WFAN or Lower Manhattan, and he would fly, I believe, to Atlantic City where he would play. I think that's where he went. I don't know if he went to Atlantic City on a helicopter. And then he sometimes, after the show, would leave, you know, Lower Manhattan and drive to wherever 2 hours to go play blackjack every day. And just got to a point where he was using what was supposed to be legitimate money for this ticket business, and then he wound up going to jail. I don't know how much time he did, but he was in Leavenworth.
Because he eventually lost the blackjack money?
Yeah, but that he took legitimate money and, you know, from a hedge fund and all hell broke loose.
I think it was less than 2 years, maybe right around 2 years, maybe.
But Boomer found out, you know, the morning he was arrested. And, you know, you can imagine, I mean, he's pissed off. He's going, well, we have this show, it's killing it, and now you're, you know, doing this. We had no idea this was going on. He goes to jail. Loses a bunch of money, but he's back now. He's doing afternoons and on. Is he back on WFAN? Is that where he is?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Carden Roberts.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a guy who deserves a second chance. I mean, he really didn't do anything that. I guess when you're doing it, you think, well, I'm going to win. You know, I'm using their money. It's no big deal. The money's still going to be there. You don't think you're actually breaking the law, so it's.
Oh, he must have known he was breaking the law.
It's your typical white collar crime.
He was sentenced to 3.5 years in prison and had to make restitutions of $4.8 million.
Yeah, I don't think he served the whole 3.5, though.
No. He got an early sentence, was released from federal custody on June 8th, 2021. He went in 2019. So he basically served 2 years.
You know, gambling got him too. $2 million a year salary is not enough. Got to have more.
And with the film, I read that excerpt that they released that Chipmunk did on that website. The gambling that he lost $40 million wasn't in that thing he looked at. Was it? That was just the taxes and all the stuff and what he was making. I think he came up with the $40 million because he said another writer told him, if I'm not mistaken. So I read that and I said, so you're basically just going by the $40 million because another writer standing around a tree talked about Phil lost $40
million. I don't think that's accurate.
Is it? I didn't think, that's why I'm asking. I didn't think the $40
million. Because it was included in an audit of Billy Walters, who went to jail, and that's how they got that information.
Okay.
How much did John Daly lose gambling? And Michael Jordan, there's two more that lost.
Charles Barkley's way worse. And Antoine Walker is the worst of them all.
The only, with those, I mean, you don't know if they've won or lost. I would operate on the premise that they've most likely all lost, just because that's usually the way that it works out. But the only reason Mickelson's are public, and it's only known from 2010 through 2014, is because of the federal audit on what led to Billy Walters. Is that his name again? I feel like I'm butchering his name. I might be off the mark on it.
It's Timmy Walters.
Timmy Walters. Oh, yeah, the guy who saw Matt Holliday on the cover of Men's Fitness in 2009.
Billy Walters. Even if you're making money hand over fist like all those guys were, you would think after you lose about $1 million in gambling, you'd say, I better quit that. That's stupid.
I get it, but it's like a grotesque addiction.
Yeah.
It's so gross. I've never been addicted to drugs. But I just get the scent, like a couple times I've had it, even within the last 5 years. And that, fortunately, it's just like a weekend where I go, what am I doing? I'm betting overs on games I don't know, or unders on games, or betting sides. It's just, and I'm sure plenty of people in our audience listening are like fiending for betting on something that they really know nothing about.
Fiending.
You know, fiending. Like, can't wait. Yeah. And then you find yourself going, okay, you know, NBA was off last night. All right, I'll bet the over on this, or I'll bet, you know. Whatever. Bucks are at home now. I'll take them. I don't know. Whatever.
Glad that's one thing I'm glad I never got into. Because if I lose $5 in a bet, I feel bad. Much less $40 million. Seriously? Is there nobody in his life that could have grabbed him by the shoulders and say, stop it! Stop it! Get some help! Look what you're doing.
Gambling addiction is a real big deal. It's worse when middle-class guys get themselves and their families in trouble and feel like they're trapped and can't talk about it. That's from the 314.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Those hotlines are really, a lot of people who I've heard had addictions.
Pleasons.
They use those hotlines, and apparently they're very helpful.
Yeah, I would think. And that's what the opponents of gambling always point to, is all these guys losing all this money is why it's not a good thing to be legal. But people are going to do it anyway.
Right.
You're better off trying to solve the addictive behavior, I think, than the
I love gambling itself. But I'm one of those guys that I only gamble a little bit.
Right. That's the thing.
Just to have fun.
But the key is the bankroll management.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an either or that you can't do it. It's similar to food, for example. You know, to each their own, but I don't think you have to not eat ice cream or candy or something like that. It's the management of it. And that's where it can get gross. You know, whatever it is that you're comfortable with. You know, if you're a multimillionaire, losing $10,000 is a nothing.
Nothing. It's like me betting my $25 three-teamer.
So it's just, but that's the thing. God, but when you're chasing, the chasing is the thing that's the, gives me chills thinking about it. Ken's inaccurate legal, tax, accounting, and journalistic insights per minute rate is staggeringly high this hour. That's from Dogtown Ty. Doug, he had the drone out there on Sunday.
He did.
Sunday.
Just try to get some accurate weather information.
Well, that's why I was asking the question, because I read the article once yesterday. I just perused it. So, and Tim was correcting me because I thought I saw something in there about.
Well, I didn't want to dress you down. I just wanted
to
make
sure
that I got
it. No, I'm glad you did, because I only read it once and I didn't take notes on it. But I thought there was one part in the article he was saying, and Phil's gambling debts are well known, as a lot of the guys out on tour who follow him have told me about it. To me, that's just saying one guy told me about something he heard from another guy.
And I know the on-the-record, off-the-record thing, but it sounded like Phil just assumed that things were off the record And why, with a guy writing a book who is a journalist, why are you saying anything like those Saudi comments to him? Even if it is some quote-unquote off the record, that is quotes that can make, you know, could ruin his career and also could make the writer's career with a huge book, which is now happening.
Yeah.
I just don't get with how many interviews he's done with people around him that are super smart, and he doesn't get, you know, the idea of on the record, off the record, what you can and probably shouldn't say to someone. I mean, there's nobody's fault but Phil Mickelson. Regardless of when the quotes came out for Saudi, when the book came out, this is, I mean, there's no lies in there. This is all accurate, you know, things. Just because it may or may not have, you know, Phil didn't want it to get out doesn't mean it's anybody's fault but his.
I guess when you're the boss, the big boss like him, you don't always listen to the people that are underneath you trying to help. You're going to do it your way, and that's just the way it's going to be.
I would like, hopefully Bones will say something, because, I mean, obviously Chipnick's not going to lie in the thing. But, I mean, Phil's not broke. He may have lost a lot of money gambling, but he's not broke. And to have Bones on his back for that long and Bones leaves because he owes him a couple hundred thousand in back pay, and that seems odd to me.
And then you hear stories about Mickelson being so generous.
Well, and Shipnick mentions that this is not, you know, this is not a hit piece, so to speak. He talks about Ryan Palmer, who's, you know, for people who follow golf, they know who he is, but I would imagine 90% of our listeners don't. And his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, and Mickelson did everything for the family to make sure that the same doctors who took care of Mickelson's wife, Amy, in 2009, took care of Ryan Palmer's wife and took him in and went out of his way to do that. So it's not necessarily a case of this is a bad guy, but Mickelson didn't want to participate in the book. Now
he did the same kind of thing for Conrad Dobler's
book. Maybe putting his daughter through school at ASU, I think.
Conrad Dobler was an offensive lineman for the football Cardinals and a really good one in the 70s. Apparently his wife got on a hammock to take a nap and flipped over on the hammock and broke her neck.
God.
And is now like a quadriplegic. And he heard that story and has paid for the daughter's education.
Right. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, in reading this thing, I really would recommend it. I posted it on the TMA fan page yesterday. For those of you who haven't read it, even if it's not a golf thing, by the way, that he said, if I was just writing about a guy who was just a bad guy, I don't know if I would really want to do it. The thing with Mickelson is he's so complex. He's so popular. But then he also has these things, such as gambling $40 million, that, you know, and then also will, I think Mickelson himself has said it, but other players on the tour would, you know, if he would rather par a hole, assuming it doesn't have high stakes at the moment, with some ridiculous flop shot or something along those lines, then, you know, just have an ABC, you know, drive approach to 10 feet and hit the putt birdie. That's kind of his thing. He likes the high risk, high reward, so he's this compound character. And yeah, I agree with Iggy that the book coming out, you know, the week of him defending his PGA championship, but I mean, it is a business. The key is it accurate? And Mickelson not participating, you know, but as I said about Armin Katayan's book on Tiger Woods, I was reading that and I read it so quickly. It was so good. And I'm reading some things. And I'm like, there's no way that Tiger didn't participate in some capacity, but he didn't. He's not quoted in it. Tiger said he didn't, but I'm just like, there's some of the things that they're writing are coming from only one person, and that's Tiger Woods.
Yeah. I don't like the book itself, the cover either, because you notice in really small print, it says not. Where it says Phil Mickelson autobiography, but then there's a little bitty black print with an arrow pointing in between the autobiography saying it's not.
It's not what, authorized?
Yeah. So if you don't really look at it, you see, hey, Phil Mickelson autobiography.
Brian Henschen does cover Indianapolis sports, and he also covers this show. So here's somebody who would kind
of
know.
Hell out of Indianapolis sports.
Whether things are on the record or off the record, and he says it's always on the record. The writer did nothing wrong. There's a guy who.
Thank you. Like, that's my. You gotta be smart enough than that. I mean, that's stuff, like, that's quotes you should probably keep away from, like, your friends, even. Like, those are damning career enders. And you saw how many sponsors dropped almost immediately within that first few days to a week.
Yeah. Well, Phil's saying it was off the record. He said it was off the record. But my point also was, and Hinch is right, I mean, if somebody calls you and starts talking, he doesn't say it's off the record. But at that point, I think I brought this up a few weeks ago, that I said, do you think at some point Chipnick said, now, Phil, you're sure you want this on the record? Because this is pretty damning. Personally, I would have done it. I would have said, I'm going to go with this. You sure you want this on the record? Because you just said some things that are probably going to be damning to you. That's what I would have done. So, yeah, there's, you know, there's ethics, and then there's, you know, well, he didn't say it wasn't off the record, so I'm using it. There's that also.
Your thoughts are welcome. You can text in 314-881-TMA5. We are in our Appliance Discounters 8 o'clock hour. Appliance Discounters, your hometown appliance source featuring major brands like GE. New sponsor alert, Doug.
Who's that?
New sponsor alert.
Oh, we like that.
Jackson, what do we have?
Oh, we got Urban Chestnut.
That's right.
Oh, Urban Chestnut Brewery. Do I love Urban Chestnut. I love drinking Urban Chestnut beer. And then I went out last week to their to the beer hall there in the Grove. It's such a cool, it looks like you're right in the middle of Germany, like drinking at these huge long tables, drinking just wonderful beer. It's so delicious. I like the crisp Zwickel. I like the Underdog. I really like Fantasyland. Delicious, full-flavored beers, and they do so much for the community. They're local, you know. They do a lot for the community, whether that be with St. Louis Pet Shelters, their corporate partners at Purina. Urban Chestnut is all about St. Louis and all about getting St. Louis some delicious beer. They got two locations here in St. Louis, and then, of course, they have a brewery out in Germany as well. So that's where they get most of their brewing ingredients, Doug. They get a lot of their brewing ingredients.
Is that the one you usually go to when you need a beer?
Deutschland.
One in Germany?
Yeah, I'll head out to Germany.
It's a tax write-off.
Right.
So it's free.
Yeah. They got the two breweries here in St. Louis, the Beer Garden off of Wash Avenue near SLU, and then the it's 500 people for the beer hall off Manchester in the Grove. But that third brewery is in Germany is where they get a lot of their brewing ingredients. Urban Chestnut is awesome. They're big fans of the show. They love the show.
Doug, who doesn't love the show?
Right. Well, Madison used to work there and raves about it. Loves it. So we're there in the Grove all the time. It's a perfect area, too. Great covered patio as well.
Yeah, it's an awesome place to go hang out with your friends, enjoy some delicious beer, get some TVs there, hang out, have some food, have some beverages, and just enjoy, you know. And what I love most is really the can art. Because if a company is really interested in the can, or if they're really going to take their time and make a really cool-looking can, you know the beer inside is going to be tasty. And that's exactly what happens over at Urban Chestnut. So head out there. You can go to their brewery over off Wash Ave near SLU. You can head to the giant 500-person beer hall of Manchester. The days get nice. They open those doors up and just allow the air to flow through. So head on over to Urban Chestnut. Or if you don't want to head over there, just pick up. They're available everywhere in St. Louis, grocery stores, gas stations. Go pick up one of your favorite Urban Chestnut beers. I personally like Fantasyland. I love Zwickel. I love Urban Underdog.
Urban Underdog, baby.
It's all crisp and delicious. So head that over to Urban Chestnut.
There it is. Action Jackson, Urban Chestnut. Welcome aboard here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Send your emails in for Our Design, Air, Heating, and Cooling. Email today, the morning after, at InsideSTL.com. That comes your way at 9:45. Coming up at 9:30, the Bert Early Cutlery Cuts of the week. It's all coming your way in the Maggie O'Brien's 9 o'clock hour. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After from the Michelob Ultra Studios.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, perfect for seeing Taylor Swift the Eras Tour. Presented by Capital One. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.